Bon. Tonight, what I want to do is compare the person of Moses to the person of Jesus. Many ways we're going to see in which Moses stands as a type and a representative of Jesus Christ the Lord. First of all, let's just jump right in here. They are alike in their offices. Moses is said to be a prophet, a priest, a servant, a shepherd, a mediator, a deliverer, and a king. So let's look at those in the Bible. First of all, in Acts chapter number 3, it's up to you if you want to try to keep up with me. There's going to be a lot of page turning tonight. But in Acts chapter number 3, I'm going to be reading from verse number 22, or Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And that, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And what's interesting about the Deuteronomy passage is that it says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet with a capital P there. So it's a person. It's a specific individual person bearing the name prophet. A prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. So Moses, a prophet, and like him in prophetic office, comes the Lord Jesus. Does the sound different tonight? Oh. Next thing we see is that Moses is a priest. The Bible says in Psalm 99 and verse 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. So there the Holy Spirit calls Moses a priest. And then there's, of course, many verses we could look at where Jesus Christ is said to be a priest, especially in the book of Hebrews. So we'll look at one there. Hebrews 7, verse 24 says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Of course, that's Jesus Christ. All right, so Moses is a prophet. That is, he spoke God's truth to the people. Sometimes regarding the future, sometimes not, but he was God's spokesman, and so was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as priest, Moses interceded for men in the presence of God, and he ministered to man on behalf of God, as did the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, Moses is called God's servant. God's servant. For example, in Psalm 105, verse 26, Psalm 105, 26, he sent Moses his servant and Aaron whom he had chosen. And then with that, you have Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 18. Matthew 12:18, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So Jesus Christ and Moses both served God by serving men. It said Moses, his servant, and Jesus of Jesus Christ, he was my servant whom I have chosen. And then Shepherd. Moses was indeed a shepherd, a keeper of the sheep. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, we studied that. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So Moses was a shepherd. What about Jesus Christ? Well, same for him, but a much different kind of sheep, sheep of the two-legged variety. In John chapter 10, starting at verse 11, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Okay, Moses and Jesus, both not only shepherds, but Jesus, a good shepherd, the good shepherd, and all of his sheep certainly know that to be true. And then in Exodus 33, we see Moses acting as a mediator, a go-between, bridging the gap between God and men. Exodus 33, starting at verse number 8, the Bible says, And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And so Moses represents man in the presence of God and represents God in the presence of man to bring the two together. Okay, that's a mediator. Okay, and so that's reconciling the differences. That mediator reconciles their differences. And then, of course, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5 with regard to the salvation of the soul, and with regard to the giving of and the preservation of eternal life, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. The man Christ Jesus, because he is fully God, he can speak to and fellowship with and communicate with God the Father. Because he is fully man, he can speak to and speak with and fellowship with and minister to the sons of Adam. Jesus Christ, the great mediator. And then, of Moses and of Jesus Christ, both are said to be deliverers. Deliverers. Acts chapter 7, verse 35. Acts 7:35. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Okay, so Moses, according to that verse, both a ruler and a deliverer. Ruler and deliverer. Jesus Christ. Well, was he not a ruler? Absolutely. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, The government shall be upon him. And deliverer. Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonians 1, 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So Moses is a prophet, a priest, a servant, a shepherd, a mediator, a ruler, and a deliverer. Jesus Christ, a prophet, a priest, a servant, a shepherd, a mediator, a ruler, and a deliverer. Moses, a clear picture of Jesus Christ. Okay, now that was in their offices. Now let's look at their character. Okay, in their character, Moses is said to be meek, faithful, obedient, and mighty in word and deed. What about Jesus? Well, the same is true of him. In Numbers 12, book of Numbers, chapter number 12, and verse 3. Numbers 12, 3 says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Okay, now meek, that doesn't mean cowardly or timid, wimpy. Okay, no. We certainly have, as we've studied about Moses in the book of Exodus, we've learned better than that. Meek, meaning he would take wrong and not do wrong in return. That's meek. And then in Matthew 11, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus says, we'll begin in verse 28, Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So both men, meek. Moses was, we saw how he was wronged in many ways, but he never turned against, never became hateful toward the people who were doing him wrong. Jesus Christ, Bible says he was despised and rejected of men. And then he went to the cross and he died for every one of those men. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Both men faithful in the same verse. To God, faithful to God, faithful in the duty that God had given them. And then in Acts chapter 7 again, Acts chapter 7, this time verse 22, Bible says, "Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds." Wisdom, mighty, mighty in word, mighty in deed. Of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, the book of Mark chapter 6, verse number 2, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he," that's Jesus, "began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" So again, Moses, mighty in words and deed, and Jesus, mighty in word and deed. So in their offices, Moses and Christ have much in common. In their character, Moses and Christ have much in common. What about in their history? Well, Moses was a son in Egypt where he was in danger of being killed. but he was cared for, providentially cared for by God. Okay, I'm sure you remember all that since that was part of our study of Exodus. Okay, God took care of Moses when all those babies were being killed, okay, in Egypt. What about Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet.'" Okay, so they're out to get him. They're going to try and kill him. Verse 12. Jump to verse 12. "And being warned of God in a dream that they, the wise men, should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" So both Moses and Jesus escaped death at the hands of a Gentile ruler who would have destroyed them in the days of their youth. And God protected both of them in Egypt and then brought them out of Egypt in both cases. A lot of similarities, isn't it? And then Moses was rejected by his brethren the first time that he came to them, but he was accepted the second time. Remember that? Remember when Moses slew that Egyptian and he thought that his brethren would see that he was the chosen leader and would follow him out, but they didn't. That was the first time. They rejected him. The second time he came, 40 years later, they did believe, and they did put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and follow him out. And so the first time that Jesus Christ came to his own, the nation of Israel, his own received him not. They thrust him out, cast him out. But when he comes again, they will trust him. They will receive him. And he will deliver them from all their troubles, from all their enemies. All right, in addition to that, Moses chose to suffer with the Jews rather than to reign in Egypt. He could have had an earthly throne, but he would have had to reject the true and living God in order to do so. Jesus could have claimed an earthly throne, but he would have had to bypass the cross and thereby displease his Father who wanted to redeem us. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:24, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Okay, and do you remember Jesus up on that mountain out in the wilderness, Satan showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and it didn't take but a moment of time. And he said, all these will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus considered those riches, knowing that the alternative was the shame of the cross. And yet, to do his Father's will and to save our souls, he chose God's riches rather than the throne that the devil could give him. Also, while Moses was in rejection, that first time when they said no and they cast him out, while he was gone, he took to himself a Gentile bride. How about that? While Jesus Christ has been away, he has been gathering primarily from among the Gentiles a bride for himself. Moses condemned Egypt by his righteousness, by his refusal to participate in their sinful ways, just as Christ condemned the world, of which Egypt is a type, by living above it and refusing to participate in their transgressions against a holy God. Moses, the Bible says, delivered God's people by blood. He delivered God's people by blood. He told them, the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, Passover night. No blood, no salvation. No blood, you die. You die. And Jesus Christ, in like manner, he delivered his people from bondage. He delivered those who would trust him by his precious blood. Moses led the people. He fed the people, and he carried their burdens. Jesus Christ leads his people, he feeds his people, and he carries our burdens. But there is one contrast we'll look at here. Moses did not, could not, because he had sinned, Moses could not lead the people into the promised land. He could bring them to within sight of the promised land, but he could not bring them in. Why? He sinned. In all that record of his life, his great life, just one time do we read of a sin, a violation of God's commandments. And because of that, he could not bring the people into the promised land. But the Lord Jesus Christ, not one time in thought, not one time in word, not one time in deed, not one time in the intent of his heart, did he ever sin against his Father's word, his Father's will, his Father's way, not one time. There was no sin in him and no sin on him. And so, because he was the sinless Son of God, because he is the sinless Son of God, he can lead his people not just to the border of the promised land, but all the way in, saving the sinner's soul, giving everlasting life to all who will trust him and believe on him. Now, as we look back, a lot of this study has been about Moses. A lot of it has been about the children of Israel. A lot of it has been about the tabernacle. A lot of it has been about Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And it's really a fascinating book. But haven't you seen, to the joy of your heart, that really the main idea, the main theme of Exodus, like the main theme of every book in the Bible, is the blessed Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ? We see him as the great leader bringing his people out of bondage. We see him as the slain lamb, the means by which they're set free. We see him as that rod that leads the way, that works the miracles, that parts the waters. We see him in the manna falling from heaven to feed the people. We see him in the water flowing out of the rock to quench their thirst. We see him in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night leading the way. We see him in the tabernacle and all of its furnishings, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat over and above it, the candlestick giving light, the table of showbread speaking of fellowship with himself, the brazen altar where sacrifice is made for sin, the laver where washing and cleanliness is made possible. All of it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. He really is the Alpha, the Omega, and everything in between. He really is the all in all, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And I tell you, the scriptures from start to finish tell the tale of how Jesus Christ meets every need, spiritual and physical, of fallen man. And when he saves the sinner, Jesus Christ becomes that sinner's all in all. Now, those of you who are here tonight, who've taken the time to come to a midweek evening service week after week for 79 weeks, that's a pretty good indication that you have a relationship with our wonderful Savior. But I just don't want to simply close this book tonight without considering those who are not here and who may hear this recorded message one day. To that listener, I say this. I'm glad you're listening to a Christian Bible study. I'm glad you're listening to a Bible preacher. Because, that's so much better than anything else you could be listening to right now. But I want to ask you something. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I know you've been learning about him if you've been listening. I know you have an interest and a curiosity in the things in the Bible, but it will take more than knowledge to get you to heaven. It'll take more than interest, more than study to get you to heaven. God wants you to put your faith and your trust in the work that his Son did for you. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and for mine. He rose from the dead with the power to grant everlasting life to those that believe. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking all other confidence, forsaking all other hope, forsaking all other religious beliefs? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I sure hope you did. You have. I hope so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful book of Exodus. We thank you, Lord, for being with us week after week for 79 weeks as we look through these pages. Thank you, Lord, for showing us Jesus Christ in every page, in every chapter. We just thank you for all the blessings that we've had and for all the guidance you've given us and for speaking to our heart all these weeks. And now, Lord, as we close this study, we pray that you will lead us into the next and open our eyes to some more truths from your holy scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.